Welcome back in. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. It is Thursday, February 20th, 2025, continuing our season in review series, breaking down all 32 teams from the NFL, recapping how they performed from each position from a fantasy football perspective, and what can we take away from that season from these teams, the players, everything, and what can we apply going into 2025? We are starting with the AFC East. So far, we've broken down the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, and up next, we're going to go to New England. Team that's really fascinating this offseason. They have the most cap space in the NFL, which we'll talk about. They have who I think is definitely the answer at quarterback in Drake May. Spoiler alert, but he is one of my favorite breakout candidates for 2025. And what else can they add? They need more pass-catching help. They need more offensive line help, but they have the money to do it. Easily the most cap space in the NFL. New head coach with Mike Vrabel. Really interesting times in New England right now, trying to get back to relevancy in the division. So we'll break that team down. And on Friday, we'll close out the division with the New York Jets. But first, before we get started, again, I know football is, you know, all year round. We love talking about football, but baseball is getting close. Spring training on the horizon. And at FTN Fantasy, we have the best baseball content you can think of. Of course, there's the 2025 fantasy baseball draft guide headed by Vlad Sedler. This is the fourth year it has been in existence. You can get all of that content with not only writers from FTN, but across the industry as well. Of course, you can get a package, which I've talked about this before. I stopped doing baseball content a couple years ago. The data and the analysts and the tools and everything we have for baseball is just unbelievable, especially for people who aren't as tuned into baseball like myself, and just way behind the eight ball. There is so much to look to. Plus, we have plenty of articles, strategy, positional tiers, all that stuff on the site right now. It's a really awesome draft guide, like I mentioned. And again, like the tools that we'll have available for the season, worth it itself. So check it out, FTNFantasy.com. Also running, I believe we're still running a promo again. Last time it was, I believe Spring 15 can still get you 15% off. 15% off a baseball package using the promo code SPRING15. That is up until the start of spring training. You'll get, you know, VDP projections, unbelievably accurate roto rankings and predictions, spring training reports, strategy deep dives, a bunch of tools, daily MLB stuff. Like, check it out. It'll be worth it. 15% off. Use that promo code SPRING15. From the diamond to the gridiron, let's talk about the Patriots. Once the dominant force in this division, you know, they were 4-13 last season, fourth in the AFC East, but really tough environment. Drake May, they draft third overall. He doesn't start the season. They go with Jacoby Brissett. Brissett just had absolutely no chance behind this offensive line. And week six, Drake May gets his first start. And I want to talk about from week six to week 17 in particular, because like I said, May got his first start in week six. And then week 18, he got hurt like very early, hardly played the game. So 6-17, Drake May was pretty fantasy relevant. Quarterback 15 in fantasy points per game at 17.2. He averaged 37.2 rushing yards per game in that span. That was top five among quarterbacks. His 409 total rushing yards during that stretch, fourth most among all quarterbacks. Overall, his 10.6% scramble rate was top five at the position. So he was moving around a lot. A lot of it was because the Patriots offensive line was really bad. There were only four design runs, which I think will change this season. And then finally, that's 6-17 stretch. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Drake May, all tied for the league lead with 13 highlight throws according to FTN Stats Hub. Highlight throws are essentially throws that require incredible touch, accuracy, just like wow throws, right? So Drake May showing that he has that potential. that capability, that arm talent, etc. And he's doing this with Pop Douglas as his wide receiver one, a bottom five offensive line, a really bad run game for the most part. And I look at Drake May, and there have been a little bit of like Josh Allen comps due to the size, you know, 6'4", 230. Not quite as, you know, large as Josh, but the mobility was clearly a factor. Again, 37 rushing yards per game is awesome. And you go from their offense last season. Like, there's going to be a drastic change in their offense. Like, they had Alex Van Pelt last year, and now they have Josh McDaniels. So McDaniels obviously was with the Patriots multiple times. I believe when we last saw him as the OC in New England, it was 2021. Like, we saw that year, I believe that was Cam Newton's year. And of course, there was a lot of read option, zone read, design runs with Cam. We're not going to see that level from Drake May, but I do think we're going to see, and Josh McDaniels has kind of hinted about it, more emphasis on using Drake May's legs, not just having him scramble. So, yeah, I mean, I think Drake May could give you 30 rushing yards per game again. And that alone is going to make him, at the very worst, a pretty good streaming option. But then you add the fact that, okay, most cap space in the NFL, can they throw an offer too good to pass on T. Higgins? I know he's supposed to get franchise tagged, but, you know, the wide receivers after T and Chris Godwin is coming off the ankle, like, it's not great, it's not loaded, but anything's better than what they had last year. Jalen Polk, bust. Like, they got nothing from pretty much anybody not named Pop Douglas, who was nothing special, and Hunter Henry. So, McDaniels comes in. It's still going to be a team that wants to run the football, but I think Drake May, like, I think Drake May could have a season similar to what we just saw from Bo Nix in terms of, like, good, not great passing numbers, but runs, gives you a high floor each week because he's going to run for 25-plus yards most weeks. And, like, Bo Nix didn't have the most loaded group of pass catchers last year. Like, Sutton would clearly be the best player on the Patriots offense, but after Sutton, it was, what are we going to get from Marvin Mims? Troy Franklin just drops deep balls. Nothing at tight end. No run game. So, Drake May is one of my favorite breakout quarterbacks. Again, just what we saw last year in a less than stellar situation. You're not going to have to draft him in 12-team single quarterback leagues, but somebody I definitely like as a second quarterback or somebody that could be a sneaky top 12 quarterback when it's all said and done. Let's go to the backfield, where Ramondre Stevenson last year was not great. Like, really not great. Under 4 yards per carry. He was super inconsistent for fantasy. He had 5 finishes in the top 12. That's good. But then the other weeks, his average was RB41. That was his average finish. He was relatively touchdown dependent. The ball security was an issue. I think he had 7 fumbles, lost 3 of them. There were multiple games where they said they would start Antonio Gibson because of the ball security issues. So definitely something he has to work on. But I think the Patriots, again, with that move from Van Pelt to McDaniels, will be more of a successful rushing team. For starters, we've seen this Patriots team for years. You know, they've been one of the few teams that actually still use a fullback until last year where they didn't use the fullback anymore. I think that hurt when you already have not the greatest offensive line. And the short rushing, like short distance rushes for the Patriots were brutal. Ramondre Stevenson on like short distance downs, averaged 2.1 yards per carry, 5th worst in EPA per attempt on those plays. And in the red zone, he averaged 2.4 yards per carry. Just constantly getting stuffed. We're also going to see most likely the Patriots go back to more of a man duo type of look. In 2023, which is when McDaniels was in Las Vegas, the Raiders were 6th in man duo rush attempts, according to FTN Stats Hub. Just 12% of their carries were outside zone. That was a 10th lowest rate. And Stevenson, for the most majority of his career, has been more in a gap man type of duo scheme than an outside zone scheme. So add the fullback, help him with short distance conversion rates, get more of the man duo concepts. I think he'll be better. The question I have about Stevenson, and for what it's worth, 2021 was his rookie season. It was McDaniel's last season as the OC for the Patriots. That was back when Damian Harris was there and Stevenson was operating as the 1B. He averaged 4.6 yards per carry. He had a career best 15% explosive run rate and a career best 28.6% avoided tackle rate, but he had, I think it was 123 carries or so, and Harris had just over 200. The thing that's going to come down to for me, last year the snap share was pretty much identical. It was at 63% of what it was the year before. The third down snap share went down from 70% to 67%, so really didn't move much. But what's the pass game usage going to look like? Because I mentioned Drake May scrambling a lot, and he did. Again, top five, I think he was second actually in overall scramble rate. As a result, he was 35th, Drake May, 35th among 40 qualified quarterbacks in checkdown rate, 10% of the time. And that week's 6 through 17 stretch I mentioned, Ramondre Stevenson averaged 2.4 targets per game. So the pass game volume wasn't great for him. I think he's still going to play 65 to 70% of the third downs. I know they have Gibson there for, I think, one more year. I think he could be an interesting bounce back candidate. The offense overall should be better. I don't think Gibson's taking his job. Like the opportunity is pretty much pretty easily favored Stevenson when both were active. The offensive line is like that should be the first thing they look to address. I'm sure that'll be what they address, what, fourth overall in the draft. Yes, and like the quarterback's gonna help ascend the offense. Like last year they were what, 30th in points per drive. They'll be better in that regard. I think they'll be able to convert short yardage carries a lot better with the change in offense. So Stevenson's not somebody that I'm going to go into draft saying, you know, round, whatever, I have to make sure I leave with Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I'm not that high on him. But I do think if he falls, and he probably will because he didn't necessarily go high in drafts last season, and he did nothing this year to make that, you know, change going into next year. But he's going to be a pretty interesting, almost like zero RB candidate. He'll like be just ahead of that kind of tier break. And again, I haven't done 2025 rankings just yet, but he'll probably slot in RB 22 to 25, depending on what happens in the NFL draft. Like I'm sure Ashton Jensen will be ahead of him. Maybe Omarion Hampton, maybe Travion Henderson, maybe Caleb Johnson. But overall, I'm kind of encouraged about how he'll look. I think he'll return to being more efficient in this offense, and the overall offense will be better. So I'm fine with Ramondre Stevenson. Again, not sprinting to the draft board to select him, but perfectly fine if he, you know, if I go wide receiver heavy or whatever and he's there. Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we recap the passing game, which wasn't much here, to be honest. Look, talk about applying things going forward. Really, really, really good chance, and for Patriots fans, I think they hope that the wide receiver one on the Patriots isn't on the roster just yet. We'll break that down, and probably somebody that I'm going to be drafting a lot at tight end in 2025. We'll finish talking about the 2024 New England Patriots, what it means for 2025 and going forward. This is For the Numbers. We'll be right back. New England Patriots. Trying to get this passing game, trying to get everything possible around Drake May for him to succeed. Starts with the offensive line, which they'll address, and it continues with the pass catchers. Easily one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL right now. Pop Douglas led all wide receivers for the Patriots last year with 87 targets, caught 66 passes for 621 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's like wide receiver 63 in PPR points per game. Just no upside. Nearly 32% of his catches were behind the line of scrimmage. Like, yards per target, all those metrics were just way down. He was somebody that you could roster at times. He was in a couple waiver wire articles, I'm sure, but like, outside of massive bye week problems, not somebody you really ever wanted to start. And then, look, Jalen Polk, massive disappointment, despite the... He was getting some buzz in training camp, for sure. Massive disappointment. Javon Baker made a couple splash plays. Not much else. Kendrick Bourne dealt with injuries again. I don't know who this team's wide receiver one is going to be in 2025. Could it be a massive contract to T. Higgins? Maybe. Could it be... I don't know. Tet McMillan at four would be pretty high, but could it be a second-round rookie? Yeah. All I know is I highly doubt the Patriots want to go into the season with, like, Pop Douglas should be your wide receiver three on your team. Let's just be honest. Solid player. Good at what he does, but shouldn't be your wide receiver three. Or wide receiver one. Should be your wide receiver three. In the past, that was more so with Belichick. I know the Patriots have drawn in, had interest in Amari Cooper. He's a free agent. Will the Bills try to bring him back? But then they're looking at, you know, Keenan Allen, who I believe said he's either going to want to play in LA, Chicago, or retire. So that seems like it's out of the question. Godwin seems like he's going to go back to Tampa. And then you're looking at Stephon Diggs coming off the ACL. I mentioned Cooper, Deontay Johnson. Like, there's not a lot here. Hollywood Brown. So, maybe it's a handful of these guys they sign. Maybe they just double dip at the wide receiver position in the draft at some point. I will say, though, because I do think Drake May takes that leap this year, I'll have some interest in whoever the wide receiver one is for this team. I just don't know who it is right now. But outside of that, there's just not much here. We just didn't see anything last year. And a huge reason why was because the top option in this passing game was Hunter Henry. Very quietly, Hunter Henry, career high in targets last year with 98. Caught 86 of them, or 66 of them, sorry, for 674 yards, two touchdowns. He was the tight end 15 in fantasy points per game. And like we've seen throughout a lot of Henry's career, he has been the clear focal point of the offense in the passing game when the team gets in close. This past season, Henry had 41.7% of the Patriots' targets from inside the 10-yard line. That was the third highest rate in the entire NFL, not just tight ends, all pass catchers. And then he also saw nearly 30% of the team's red zone targets, which was one of the highest rates in football, too. I can already tell, especially after seeing, you know, bad seasons from guys like Kincaid, Ingram coming off the injury, and who knows where he's going to play. Like, I can already tell that if I don't draft one of the elite tight ends, I'm waiting, and it's probably going to be Hunter Henry. Like, legitimate chance, as of right now, he leads his team in targets. And there's not many tight ends that you can make that case for. I mean, who are they? Bowers? McBride, Kittle, probably. We'll see if Kelsey's back. That's probably it. Unless I'm missing somebody. Maybe, you know, Tyler Warren gets drafted somewhere really good. Because I don't think you can say that about Andrews anymore, just because his routes are way down. Laporta has Amon-Ra. Like, maybe Njoku, but do you want any pieces of that offense, depending on the quarterback? Njoku's probably the only other one where I could maybe see it. But other than Kittle, Bowers, McBride, and maybe Kelsey if he's back, there is no other tight end, I don't think, that can legitimately lead their team in targets. Pitts, no. There's nobody. I like Ferguson, but his best case scenario is second behind Lamb. Goddard, no. That in itself is very valuable. Then you have the fact, like I mentioned, good quarterback I believe in. Offense can only go up, again, 30th in points per drive. Touchdown equity's there because he gets so many end zone targets. And like, who else are they throwing to in the end zone in this offense if they're not running it in? Pop Douglas, not a red zone target. Who knows if how much Jalen Polk's even going to play. Again, if they brought in a T. Higgins or they traded back or something a couple spots and then did take somebody like Tet McMillan, okay, different story. I'd still have interest in Henry. But right now, I don't see a path to him really disappointing. And again, maybe his ADP spikes or something, but... And he didn't have, like, he's not going to have, he had one double-digit target game all year. Like, you're hoping he gets, like, 7 to 8 most weeks. And even that probably would be, depending if, you know, this is going to be a run-first offense, at least they're going to try to be with Vrabel. But I like Henry, man. Like, those stats stood out to me. And again, that's with Drake May starting 6 through 17. So it wasn't like he just played a couple games and we have to kind of project going forward. That was with May playing the majority of the season. Again, I just don't know who else is getting the football. So I know we're doing this in February. And again, the Patriots with the most cap space in the NFL, a lot's going to change. They're going to make a lot of moves. But if the way things look right now, if T. Higgins and Chris Godwin are off the market, there's nobody out there in free agency that they can bring in to where I'm discouraged from Henry being able to possibly lead this team in targets outside of the draft. Like, what are they going to trade for Cooper Kupp? Maybe. I don't know. There's no one else that can take looks away from him. And we already know he's got touchdown equity. So if he can get consistently 7-8 targets a week, it's massive. So again, very, very early in the process. Going to do my rankings. Going to do a lot of research on all these teams and compile and you know, pinpoint who some of my favorite players are in fantasy going into next year. But as it stands right now, especially after some of the, you know, the way I'm kind of downgrading a lot of these other tight ends that have been disappointing, like Dalton Kincaid, like Kyle Pitts, for sure. Jonnu Smith is awesome, but his ADP is going to skyrocket after the end of last season the way he was. It's almost going to be like process of elimination for me, because unless I want to spend an early-ish round pick on Bowers, Kittle, or McBride, like, that's the spot where I'm trying to avoid now, right? The middle range of tight end is just where it's just kind of like there's no value there. That was Kincaid last year, disappointed. That was Pitts last year, disappointed. So if I can't get one of those elite three, maybe four guys, I'm waiting. And I'll take multiple guys. I'll take Henry and I'll take maybe an upside play. Maybe like a Jatavion Sanders or... Maybe I can still take Kincaid, you know what I mean? But Henry seems like he's going to have a decent floor with a chance to lead his team, not only in targets, but I would almost certainly bet he leads his team in end zone targets again. So here we are, late February, and I'm excited about Hunter Henry. But again, most of it is also because I'm excited about Drake May. I think he's going to be a really good player for a long time. I think he showed flashes last year. I think he showed a lot of toughness. I mentioned those highlight throws. Week 6 through 17, tied with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes for the most in the NFL. So he's got the arm talent. This is the year, though. Like, second year, he's got all the, you know, those tough experiences out of the way. He's learned from them. He continues to learn from them. And now you have a team with the most cap space in football. Go get him some help. But that'll do it for the New England Patriots here on the For the Numbers in-season review series. Wrapping up the AFC East on Friday with the New York Jets. Who the hell is going to play quarterback for them? Is Garrett Wilson going to be on the team? Is Devontae Adams going to be on the team? I don't know. All I know is if Garrett Wilson's on the team, he's going to have a lot of targets because that's all he does is get a million targets every single year. And can Breece Hall bounce back? A lot of questions about the Jets. Seemingly that's been a theme for a long time now. Appreciate everybody listening as always. Check us out on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all that great stuff. Subscribe, rate, review. Do it a couple of these episodes a week until we ramp up for NFL draft season. Getting excited. Once we finish this series, I'm really going to dive into the prospects. Definitely want to have Jeremy Poplars on from FTN. He does the Dynasty podcast. He is as good as it gets breaking down prospects. So I'm excited to chat with him about some of these players who could be the next fantasy superstars in the league. That'll do it. New England Patriots, one more team down the AFC East, and we'll continue the series here on the podcast. Thanks for listening, as always. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.